It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
That's right. You know, the president is planning to build an arch. Oh, it looks very nice. Is it reminiscent of a Nazi arch? I don't know. I'll leave that up to you to decide. But the Trump administration planned to start work at the site of the president's proposed triumphal arch by piggybacking it onto an existing unrelated contract for engineering services at the White House grounds more than a mile away, according to emails that were obtained by the Washington Post. Now, the move would allow the administration to bypass a potentially lengthy public bidding process. An expert said it was unusual because the arch site is on National Park Service land across the Potomac River and is not part of the White House complex. But if you think that's going to stop Donald Trump from doing some shady deal, you would be wrong. Park Service Acting Director Jessica Bowron wrote to White House officials last month asking whether the agency could extend a contract between the White House and engineering firm AECOM Services for an environmental assessment for the proposed 250-foot arch. She acknowledged that the proposed arch isn't adjacent to the White House like Lafayette Square, another site AECOM has worked on under the same agreement, but she wrote that using the existing contract would allow work to, quote, align with the administration's timeline. Yeah, he wants this arch built before July 4th, so I'm sure the quality would be there as you're just slapping up some giant, gaudy arch that nobody asked for, nobody wants, nobody needs, except your ego is so fragile that you need to have everything, either with your name, your likeness, your love of all things gold-plated, and to remind everybody that you were here. She went on to say, I realize it's a little further afield than Lafayette Park, but given the engagement on this project from the White House, I thought I'd check. In other words, he won't stop hounding me, so I had to ask. An hour later, the White House gave NPS a green light. Yes, of course, wrote Heather Martin, an official in the executive office of the president. So what's not clear from the emails is whether the Park Service ultimately followed through with the plan to use the White House contract. Site testing was to begin this week, according to a timeline laid out by the administration in federal court last week. Heavy machinery was at the site on Monday. Boy, this sounds just like the East Wing. We're going to do it. And everybody else, too bad. I don't need any sort of okay. I'm going to do what I want when I want. So a spokesperson for the Department of Interior, which oversees the Park Service, responded to a detailed list of questions from the Washington Post about the proposed arrangement by saying the Post's assertion on contract sourcing is incorrect. On Monday, an administration official speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss contracting matters confirmed that NPS was likely to use the White House existing contracts. Wow. All right. Well, a little closer to home for this piece of you need to know. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson slammed the president in the wake of news the FBI is investigating Wisconsin's current election. No. The 2020 election. You remember we brought this up the other day. But now the mayor has come out. He said, let me say it clearly. Donald Trump won the elections for president in Wisconsin for both 2016 and 2024. He lost the election for president in 2020 in Wisconsin to Joe Biden. That was the mayor's statement on May 14th, which was yesterday. Deploying federal law enforcement to alter reality is outrageous. He added, Milwaukee's elections are conducted with the highest level of integrity and accuracy. Multiple objective reviews of our elections confirm that. How many times do we have to say it? How many times do you have to hear it? How many court cases and investigations? Is there ever going to be enough? No. He will not let this go ever because, as I mentioned in the last story, his fragile ego just is incapable of actually admitting that he lost, even though he won again. And nobody disputes when he won. Even Democrats don't dispute when he won. But man, he will not let this go. So Johnson's comments came the day after news broke that the FBI agents sought to question one of Milwaukee County's top election officials about the 2020 presidential election. That according to Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen. He said agents visited the home of the county's election director and left her a business card. There are no indications that the FBI has contacted any Milwaukee city officials, though. The visit to the home brought a response from County Executive David Crowley, who said the action, quote, raises serious concerns of intimidation. Yes. So the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel first reported this last week that the FBI was investigating Wisconsin's 2020 election and that an agent had spoken with the Wisconsin Election Commission's Deputy Administrator Robert Keough. During the meeting, Keough reportedly debunked false claims, which have been done ad nauseum. So the Wisconsin probe comes after federal officials in January seized hundreds of boxes of ballots related to the 2020 election in Fulton County, Georgia, and after the FBI issued a grand jury subpoena in March for voting information in Maricopa County, Arizona. So it will not stop. I don't know. Again, like the war in Iran, what is the end game? What do you hope to prove? And I told you so. And then that would make this term moot because you couldn't be a president for three times. What's the end game? Just so you can say, oh yeah, I won. See, I told you, I'm a big winner. The system was rigged. Sit down, old man. You're muttering. All right, more things we need to know. Oh, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, in an interview with House lawmakers, backed away from a previous claim that convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein had blackmailed people. Now, you remember this. A while ago, he said he had only been there for lunch on the island. But now it's coming out, maybe not so much. So Lutnick agreed to sit down for an interview with the House Oversight Committee last week after the release of case files on Epstein contradicted his claims on a podcast last year that he had been determined to, quote, never be in a room again with Epstein after a 2005 tour of Epstein's home that disturbed Lutnick and his wife. Now, the House Oversight Committee released the transcript of the interview Wednesday, as well as a transcript of an interview with Ted Waite, a former boyfriend of Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell. Lutnick, who for years was neighbors with Epstein in New York City, had claimed in that podcast interview that Epstein engaged in blackmail. But under scrutiny from lawmakers, Lutnick said he was only speculating. Oh, I see. Lutnick is the highest-ranked current administration official besides President Trump to be named in the Epstein case files. The Republican president has consistently denied any knowledge of Epstein's crimes and has said he ended their relationship years ago. And as you know, the hopes that the Epstein files will be pushed aside have been buoyed by the DOJ's actions, but I don't think we should let this go, and I don't think if things change at the midterm, I don't think it will be let go. And, you know, here's a little piece of, well, I'll save speculation when we're not doing stuff you need to know. We have plenty of time to speculate on things. But anyway, Lutnick repeatedly downplayed his previous interactions with Epstein. He said that after Epstein, who died in a New York jail cell in 2019 while awaiting charges on trial on sex trafficking charges, showed a massage table and made a sexual innuendo during a tour of his townhouse in 2005, Lutnick and his wife decided we would, quote, just avoid him. Yes. Yet Lutnick did exchange several emails with Epstein over the years. They also both invested in the same business venture in 2013, and Lutnick told lawmakers that he was unaware Epstein was also an investor until the case files were released a month ago. So, Howard Lutnick, believe it or not, that's up to you. A little closer to home, a grant will help Madison College prepare rural residents to become teachers. This seems like good news. A new grant is aimed at getting rural Wisconsinites into teaching jobs as rural school districts face challenges getting trained educators into their classroom. So just about a half of the students at Wisconsin's K-12 schools are in rural districts, and getting teachers into those classrooms can be a challenge, especially in areas of aging or declining population. But educators say the real challenge isn't the training, it's keeping teachers in their communities. We hear that with a lot of different fields, but teaching in particular. So Madison College created a plan to help reach rural folks who could become teachers. It's called the Education Pre-Major University Transfer Program. And the new $156,000 Wisconsin Technical College System Career Pathways Grant, boy, these titles are long, will help expand the program's reach. So Penny Johnson runs the school's education department. She says the program takes the makes the education pathway local and flexible. It identifies open spaces for teachers in districts near where students already live and focuses on recruiting small-town residents to work at rural schools. She calls it an exciting change across Wisconsin. In the past, teacher recruiting was focused on luring recent big city graduates to try rural living, and that is a hard sell. If you have never lived in a small community, it is an adjustment. If you've always been a big city person, moving to a smaller town where everybody knows who you are and a lot of people are in your business, and it's just a slower pace. Some people love that. Some people don't. So getting people who are already in that community and already like that kind of lifestyle, or finding people that really want to live a more rural, small town life, those are the people you have to target. So the grant is going to let students explore. It's going to let them visit major universities to finish their degree, and it's going to support the people, the teacher pipeline, getting teachers to stay, which again, to me, makes perfect sense because I've talked about this many times. We're training in Wisconsin. There's a lot of people graduating who were trained to be teachers. The problem comes when a lot of those graduates leave Wisconsin. They're going to places, and money is the biggest, or a big, if not the biggest reason. If you can go somewhere else and make a lot more money, I don't blame anybody for taking a better paying job. But we also have to start figuring out, okay, what the long-term problem is: teacher retention and getting teachers into rural areas. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that by using a program like this to get small town rural people trained to be teachers.